Okay. We will now continue with our 10:30 to 12 o'clock session. You can report your meditation, and you can ask whatever question. It's a Q&A session. So now we open up to the floor. Who is having the mic? Where's the mic? Oh, okay. Anybody wants to report meditation? Ah, yeah.
Sorry, brother and sisters. Please pardon me.
Don't worry. they like it actually. They say you can ask good question to have a lot of sharing. We are these people problem is they don't know what to ask. Every time I say anybody got question, they keep quiet, they look down the floor. Shy.
So brother Teo, I have actually a few questions, so I've asked.
Yeah, can, no problem.
Number one is the Buddha's path to enlightenment is through the jhana, and then after that, then he realized, and then for enlightenment. So this path, right, is so called direct seeing, silent the mind. The mainstream outside is actually following the jhana path.
Yeah, until a certain point. A lot are following that. But now you also heard of there is two type of jhana, isn't it? There is two type of jhana now in the discussion. Never mind, you continue with your question.
I don't know that.
Oh, you didn't hear about that.
I only know so far is jhana, right? What the Buddha...
Correct. They are also jhana. Because how they define jhana... I explain this one first, then later I will elaborate. You got any question on this? That is the question already. Because the mainstream, they go on that.
That is along the way.
Okay.
You can start.
Okay. So it's a very good question because this has been going on for too long. Since the early days. Have you got this book, Samatha Vipassana? Bhavana, based on a talk that I delivered in Klang. Do you have this book? Did you read? Oh, no wonder you don't know. You read this one, or you just got it. You read this one, or your answer is there. But I will explain it to you. You say during the time of the Buddha, during that time in India, it was very popular. Jhana was the main one. If you have jhana, you will have psychic, and you have a lot of very beautiful meditation experiences. So what happened was, the Buddha also went and learned all this meditation from the teachers. Then he finally met two great teachers. They were the most famous at that time. Alara and Kudaka. You heard of these two teachers? The Buddha? What did they teach them? He teach them, one of them teach him until the seventh jhana, the formless jhana. The other one teach him until the eighth jhana. So this formless jhana, there are four. After you finish the form jhana, first, second, third and fourth, then you will reach the formless jhana, you continue to train. The first rhyme is that jhana of infinite space, where the object of meditation is infinite space. Then they move on to the next jhana, which is more refined, infinite consciousness. Then after that, they reach the third formless jhana, the rhyme of nothingness. To them, like nothing, the mind is so still, nothing. Then later on, as they go out, more refined, they realize nothingness also got something. But their mind becomes so quiet, so peaceful, so subtle, so still. They like neither perception nor non-perception, they reach the right. They can't even really perceive or don't perceive. The mind becomes so still. And they live for very, very long. So to most of them, they thought that is ultimate liberation because your mind can stay there. Like I explained the other day, because they are so skillful in this jhana, even when they are about to die, they may suffer and all those things. But no problem, because later on, when their consciousness about to come out, where this craving falls over, dissipate, because they are so weak, the body, then the energy no more, then the organ cannot sustain. The craving force that bind this consciousness inside, they will actually cease. Then when the craving force no more, this consciousness is free, because they have developed this jhana before. So they immediately know what to do. Because when the consciousness is free, easier to meditate. Chomp, they went in. That's why they take birth up there. Live very long. But the Buddha realized this is not what he wanted. What he wanted was more than just all these fantastic mind state and experiences. Then he realized he still got a problem despite doing better than the teacher. He can also do all those states and he can do it very fast. But his problem of old age, sickness and death is still there. Then he reflected and contemplated. He said, I tried so hard. I did so many things. I must wait till the so-called death only I can take birth up there. But these are all still mine. And because of his past parami, he knew there is something beyond that that can completely free him and liberate. Even while this life before he passed away, he must have the understanding and the realization so that he can transcend old age, sickness and death. Otherwise, when you fall from that line back to the human line or below, you will still have the same problem. You will suffer. That's why he met Mahabrahma. And he spoke to Mahabrahma. Mahabrahma thought he is the creator god. Just to the Hindu tradition, a lot of people believe Mahabrahma is a creator. And he's only at the top rung of the first form jhana. But he can create. From the four elements, he can create. And he saw all this happen after him. So he thought he was God. You know why it happened? You're familiar with the destruction of the world cycle or not? Oh, you're not familiar. The 31 plane of existence, they got one table at the side there. 64 world cycle, the complete destruction. First level is, I forgot already, I think fire. It repeat for a few times. Then water, then wind. When it reached the wind, it wiped off until the Brahma rhyme. Means even the Deva rhyme was gone. Then from there, the civilization start again. That's why the Brahma thought he was the first one. He is God. He created all this. Then the Buddha went up there, met up with him, and they have a conversation. It was all in the sutta. And the Buddha said, do you know who I am? He said, I don't care, because I am the creator God. Then the Buddha asked him a few questions. He cannot answer. He said, do you know you have actually reached very high up there? Formless jhana too, the eighth one, is it? Which I also went there before, is it? And you have fallen from there over the eons and eons and eons, until now you Brahma, Mahabrahma. You not kept, don't know how long, after that, two more rhymes below Brahma, he will follow the Devarim, is it? After the Devarim, depend on your parami, you will fall down to the human realm. Then if you're not careful, you will go down to hell again. That's why the Mahabrahma starts to panic. Then he pay respect to the Buddha, take refuge, and he cultivate. So what the Buddha realized was, despite all this, he cannot develop the understanding to free. That's why he persevere on. Then when he persevere on, he didn't go into all those fantastic jhana. He recalled the incident when he was a child, the harvesting festival. He was just a child at that time. But he could meditate and go into the first jhana and levitated out because he was a child. He was gifted. He recalled the incident. He got no thought, nothing. Like a child, baby, no conditioning, nothing. There was just joy. There was just peace. Then there was just understanding because he can see very clearly. So he recalled that mind. Then he decided to eat because at that time he was well fed. That's why he went back to eat. He realized self-mortification and all this ascetic practice is not conducive for the physical body because he went through all the self-mortification. Then he was so weak until he almost died. He decided to eat. After he decided to eat, the five ascetics left him. They say he's not serious anymore. Then when he met Sujata, who offered the milk rice, yeah, that was the condition. They make vow to make offering to a Sammasambuddha just before they become Sammasambuddha. God, people make such vow. So you got to wait for her to come. That's why she came, offered. Then the sign came. No? She make a pure wish. If what I am doing is correct, show me a sign, is it? So he threw that container that he finished out with the milk right into the river. Then the sign came, he saw that, you call it a bowl or what, I don't know, the container, instead of flowing downstream, it moved upstream. That's why he knew already he can make it. That's why he made that vow. He said, I will sit even until my whatever vein and all those things, sinus all dry up, I will not arise unless I realize the Sammasambuddhahood on the line. Then he said. So when he said, he also went into the first jhana, but that is upachara samadhi, because the first jhana, the thought is still there, vitaka, vichara. Then piti, he realized piti. Then after that, sukha, and ekaganda, but they were all there, not relinquished. So that apana samadhi still got clarity. Then when he went into that state, all of a sudden, he connect back. When he connect back, he inherited all this. Then he saw how dependent origination arise, how all the various things arise. Then he became enlightened. So when he was about to be enlightened, the Mara all cannot wait. They must attack him. That's why they send all the beautiful daughters of the Maharaja. One by one they challenge him. But he is already ready. That's why that serpent also. You saw that serpent? A certain image above him also protected him. So because of that he realized all this is more important than those jhana. Because jhana is a conditioned state of mind, no wisdom. That's why later on when he came and teach, he teach the Noble Eightfold Path. He teach Sama Samadhi. He never say Sama Jhana. Understand? If he meant Jhana, then no more problem. He straight away can change the word back to Sama Jhana. No confusion. Everybody will get it right. If it's Samajana that make you enlightened, all his other teachers would have been enlightened. Alara and Udaka. But why are they not enlightened? Because they believe in the ultimate self. The true self living up there. there is the delusion that is still within the mind, 31 plane of existence. That's why after the Buddha realized, he don't want to teach. How to teach? Like you say, what you use, was it traditional or what? Mainstream. Well, mainstream like that, you know. How to go and tell people all this one not correct? Cannot. That's why he refused to teach. He just sat down there. Is it? What he has realized is too profound for a living being to understand. And he realized this nature's law of karma, that he inherited them. And as a Samasabha Buddha, he understood all this perfectly. Then later on, as this argument goes on, the real cultivators stand out. But they don't want to compete, they don't want to argue. Like Huining, he defined what samadhi is. He said, don't go and sit like a statue. That's how you go to the Zen retreat or meditation. They see you doing samatha. They come with a big ruler, they whack you. They say, we have enough Buddha statue here, we don't need another one sitting here. You go into all those, like they say, infinite space, infinite consciousness, realm of nothingness, then realm of neither perception or non-perception. What do you learn? You learn to enjoy the stillness, the bliss, the fantastic mind state, then all sorts of manifestation. But all these are within the field of thought. If it doesn't give you wisdom, you cannot free, you cannot liberate. Then when the Buddha went into this first jhana, where it's upachara samadhi, where it's not apana, when you go into second jhana, you relinquish the first two, vitaka and vichara. And then no more thought, no more applied thought and sustained thought. Asana. Then they stay concentrated in piti. Then later piti also relinquish. They stay in sukha. Then they stay in ekagata. That type of upekka is not the real one. That's why these are all jhanas. When you go into second jhana, your mind is already in apana. Because no more thought. Asana. Apply thought, sustain thought, no more. You enjoy the bliss of piti leading to sukha. Then, one-pointedness, that's why the thought cannot move. No thinking, no sankhara. That's why you are so still, so peaceful, but the energy will build up. So that's why you have to push it up to develop all the jhana. Then the first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana. Then you push it up some more until the eighth jhana. But all these are energy field. Sometimes you are not careful, you can get into trouble. The Mara all looking, they can see, they are better than you. They are born as Mara. You only as a human being learn all this. So they will come and test you. They will come and create funny things for you to see. And they influence you. Then they tell you a lot of stories. Now you see Buddha, now you see Kuan Yin and all those things. Now you already Arahant, past like you want. Then you all see the still picture, passing picture. When you are in certain jhana, this picture will appear. Oh, then you're very excited. Oh, this one must be my past life. This one must be what? All this is all in the Surangama Sutta. Defilement of insight and also deviant samadhi. Not the right samadhi. Yeah, these are concentration, energy field. So what the Buddha realized was, through his meditation, when he inherited, he saw how living beings take birth, dependent on what karma that type of birth they take. Then he saw himself first. One life, two life, three life, hundreds of thousands of life, millions of life, then eons of life. Then he realized and recalled his vow and all those things and how he cultivated. Then he saw how the mind functioned, dependent origination. That's how he perfected all the dhammas. How living beings, because of ignorance, are born into all this because of karma. Then he starts to understand all this. Then he realized that all this while the bird, the segmented line, is not him. That's why his problem no more. Birth, old age, sickness and death is the physical form of the segmented body, the human being, the form of mind, and it's not me. That's the delusion. But living being cannot accept that. How can you say this is not me? I want to laugh, I laugh. I want to scream, I scream. I want to run, I run. I want to do anything I can. I want to commit suicide, also can. Why you say not me? True or not? Then, if it's not me, then how come it can have a mind that can think? So to them, there must be a thinker behind the thought. Yes or not? It must be me thinking. Otherwise, how can there be thought? But they don't know what is dependent origination, like the physics experiment. So to you, your sense experience are so real. Every moment of seeing is so real. Every moment of sensation is so real. Because the phenomenal world is so solid. Understand? Not? All this table you say not real. My body not real. Not real, your money give to me. Real in the materialistic world, in the conditioned world, because when it is supported by condition, it exists. And you deludedly think, oh, yeah, it exists. But how does it exist? It comes about through condition. When condition ceases to be this, it's gone. That's why it's not real. But you cannot see. Then how do you perceive it? Through a image up here, inverted, literally inverted in the mind. That's why you must meditate to see it. With mindfulness, you will see. Because I remember during the early day, when I had this daily mindfulness developed continuously, I can see this image up here. I didn't do concentration or samadhi. I just silently relaxed. Then I saw this image come out. Then when I came down from the retreat here, remember, when I realized this, I was so still. Then on the bus, as I traveled down, I saw the sense data coming in. No? Then how it interact dependent origination and how it caused my brain to move again. No? Then I realized already, you know, that thing coming in. Then I knew already, problem starting already. Oh, how upon contact, because I was so mindful, so aware, and I didn't do anything. No? It just naturally let me understand. No? Then how when it come in, when the mind give meaning, chuk, through perception, through conditioning, you react. But the time I have the understanding already, then I just let it happen. Then I realize, hey, this five aggregate of form and mind is not like before anymore. It does not deludedly grasp, cling, and is not heedless anymore. It is so silent and there is so much clarity. It's just aware. And the senses still function like before. Except now, how it happened is a very natural process. That was what the Buddha realized. That's why he got no more problem. Then, lately, a lot of people who did all these jhana and all those things, even the so-called Burmese, they realize they cannot see progress. They can't really see progress. And they haven't seen really even any credible progress among themselves, the cultivator. Maybe they respect the teacher a lot. So what is happening is, over the years, you have come to realize one thing. If the teaching that has been taught, like you say, mainstream, is the correct teaching, there will be a lot of enlightened beings, correct? How come after the Buddha, less and less, less and less, less and less? You have to ask, how does a teaching get passed down? Through chanting. That's why the Theravada tradition, the Pali chanting is still very authentic. But the problem is nobody understands what this word anymore. Understand? I give you a very simple example, you will know. Let's say, I write it down. Huh? Very easy, yeah? The first thing the Buddha taught the monk is the Four Noble Truths. Remember? Dhamma Chakka Pavattana Sutta. After that, only Kondanya become a Sotaman. The other four not yet. Then what did he teach them after that? Then all five become Arahant. Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. You heard of that sutta? Oh, you haven't heard of that sutta. Oh, tomorrow I share with you. Cannot be you are in the mainstream. This one is in the mainstream. Oh, okay. You see, Anatta Lakkhana, Anatta is non-self, empty nature. There is a sutta on Anatta, the characteristic of Anatta, non-self. And immediately, when he expounded that, all the five become Arahant. Do they sit there and do jhana? Do they sit there and do jhana? They were listening, and yet they become Arahant. Because they understand non-self. Straight away, the delusion, the ignorance, all the 10 factors gone. So what happened is, all this were passed down through chanting. Okay? Why? Because no writing. True or not at that time? Writing came later. So when you chant, like your national anthem, your school song, you never go wrong. We are repeated. But the meaning of the word cannot carry on. Understand? Not? Like I pass you a message. Hey, you go and explain to them the five aggregate of form of mind, the two aspects. After you listen, you share with another one, you say, okay, you pass on. By the time you reach the 10th floor, it's no more five aggregate of form of mind, it's something else. Even when I pass to you, if your level can only resist 70%, how you pass down? You pass down maximum 70%, but including the 30% wrong one. So, then this fellow trying to understand you head or tail, if he is very good, maybe he retain all your 70%, 30%, but very rare. Very likely this fellow, the 70%, he can't even get 30%. But the 30%, he get 10 or 20%. So, and he has his own one, 30%. Then pass down to the third fellow. By the time it reached the 10th floor, all the teaching not there already. So similarly, during the Buddha's time, from chanting, we retain the Pali chanting, we retain the original words. And this is very important. Because after I came to realize and my nature understand, very funny, I read the Pali word, I know the Pali word is accurate, the teaching is accurate. But the commentary all haywire, all gone. So what is happening is, just like now, this five aggregate of form and mind, you go and check the book, you cannot find. I share with you, correct? Those who are with me for 6, 7 years or 10 to 11 years maximum month, they will understand. So after I share with you, you will come to realize that before that, despite you going into Buddhism and all things, nobody explained to you in this way. So after, let's say, some 2 years, 3 years, the moment I say five degree of form in mind, the two aspects you understand, correct? Right? True or not? Because you have been with me for a few years. The Buddha teach for 45 years. No? All the explanation not recorded. No? What he shared with people all not recorded. No? You wait for Ananda to repeat. Ananda also no more. That's why chanting come. Ananda repeat, Ananda cannot explain. No? That's why the teaching is not there. So what happened is, if the teaching is not there, then it's just like I say, the Buddha passed down to the disciple passed down to the disciple, and the disciple passed down to someone. They only know chanting. No? Then the Hindu, very smart. Because there are a lot of Brahmin at that time, got money. Can go and study both. Then they come back. They take all the good one from the Buddha, Buddhism. They assimilate all the good points. Then together with the Hindu practice, compound a new teaching and kick Buddhism out of India. Understand? And maintain Hinduism until today. So that's why you see how after the passing away of the Buddha, Buddhism actually declined. That's why he has to get Bodhidharma to carry over to China. Then Hui Ning, sixth patriarch, bring it up again, flourish again. Then after that, the patriarch subsequently went to Australia, went to United States, went to Europe, went all over the world to teach. And it's not easy, because everybody teach differently. So that's why you got all the division. From Theravada, you split into Mahayana, Mahayana, you split into Vajrayana. Then all the Jnana got their own division. You got Mahasi, you got Waki, Kohinka, you got this, what they call, there's another very famous one, what was it? Pa'au. Then I saw the exchange of the WhatsApp. Wow, the disciple arguing like anything. I saw those WhatsApp. I said, what is going on in the Buddhist community? I cannot understand. Dhamma has become like that. So you cannot blame the teaching. It's human being, human nature, because you always believe you are right. And when you believe you are right and you are enlightened, then you share. But the disciple is the one that want to imitate you. Hey, he said, my teacher teach this one. This method, this technique, sure, arahant. You do like that means vipassana. Means what? One size fit all. Where got everybody same one? Cannot be. So method technique does not define the meditation. They don't know. Why they do the method technique? Because my teacher do. Then I ask you one thing. If Buddha do anapanasati, how come they say anapanasati is samatha? The Buddha never do rising, falling, it become vipassana. Then why? You follow Buddha or you follow that so-called teacher? Both are not wrong, understand? But doesn't mean you do anapanasati, you do the same as the Buddha, understand? Even rising, falling, I ask you, 100 people do, 100 people do wrongly, differently. Because you interpret the word differently, understand? He said, not rising, falling. That word note, 100 people all define wrong differently. Oh, how to note? Go and look for it. Then, that's why you got a lot of questions. So, word is subject to interpretation. That's why terminology can be very dangerous, understand? Last time I remember, I heard this word sensitive. My English was taught to me with only one meaning. This guy is very sensitive. Means what? Small, small thing he complained on. He do all this. So, when I heard the Dhamma talk, when you have mindfulness, you become very sensitive. Wow, like that I don't want to learn mindfulness. It's the wrong interpretation of the word. Here, sensitive means you become very aware. You are sensitive to many, many things, but not in the negative connotation. That's why the first thing my teacher tell me is, when I met him, and this one is another teacher, he said, Tio, I don't know what they tell you. Forget about everything they tell you. So first thing he tell me that. Then he say, I have to use words. Words are subject to interpretation. Understand? So you must get me right. Otherwise you cannot understand me. He said, I got no words. My teaching got no words. But I have to use words to communicate with you. To share my experience with you. And now you understand. I also have to use words. Correct? But you don't go and quote me, Brother Theo say, Brother Theo what? Then you get into trouble, I also get into trouble. Well, you cannot understand what I say. You quote me correctly, but you go and argue with people and explain it wrongly. That's why if you don't understand me, please, don't quote me. Just tell them I share my understanding with you. You want to understand more, listen to a recording, read the transcript, then come and ask questions. I think our friend here is a very good example. I haven't met him. He only heard about me from Song. They were at a retreat there, correct or not? So when you heard about me, what Song tell you is very different from what you hear from me now.
Sensitive.
Ah, good. Because he cannot express it clearly to you, understand not? So you will reject a lot of things he tell you, understand not? That part true or not? That part true or not? No need to be shy of either. We are everybody start the same, understand not? When you don't understand, you will learn from somebody. And the first person you learn, unless your karma very good, you straight away hit jackpot, understand not? Otherwise, they take you to Holland, go around everywhere the world. Then only you finally meet the jackpot. You think jackpot so easy to strike? Like lottery. One in so many million only get what the jackpot. No? You think the one number is so easy to pull? No. So what I'm trying to tell you is, if the teaching is still authentic, still what is it, the mainstream teaching, there will be a lot of enlightenment. Why are we not having this? Just like science and technology, when the scientists break through, last 20, 30 years, we progress so fast. We got so much understanding and invention. The Hubble telescope can see so many things. Now they can even prove there is another gravitational wave. Then they found God's particle. You know what is God? The basis of creation means from that particle, all life come about. Scientists are not bad at all. They cannot see, they invent microscope. They cannot see inside your human body, they invent X-ray. That's why they can see every layer of you. Underneath the skin, they can scan and slice. So you go and wear until nobody can see you, what for? You go through X-ray machine, everything can be seen. What color also they know. So the reality is, when you have the understanding of technology, a lot of things is possible. So spiritual thing is the same. When we hit the right understanding with the right view, right teaching, you will see result. There will be a lot of enlightened people. That is your guideline, understand? So don't go and worry about, mainstream like that, no. Everybody do that, no. If everybody do that, if it's correct, it will be different. A lot will be enlightened. But how come it's not happening? That's why my dad, last teacher, when he told me that, I said, I understand. That thing don't have words. When I understand, I understand. It's not the word. Because whenever he shares something with me, he realized I can understand. Then he told me, he said, forget about what they tell you. I only teach four things, he said. Relax, aware, 24 hour, and trust. Hey, I say, very good. First three, I already completed. He can feel. He say, yes, I know. But last one, trust. I say, I haven't heard. That's why he showed me the gateway. And it cut short my training and cultivation for at least 10 to 15 years, my nature tell me. And I was, in a way, because of my vow, I have to see him. The condition arise 7 times. I said, I don't know who he is. My nature say, you have to see him. That's it. And when I see him, I don't learn anything from him. He only helped me to locate the gateway. He tell me where the gateway is. That's why I save a lot of time. It's like treasure hunter. If the organizer tell you where the treasure is, you don't have to go through all the funny treasure hunting. Don't have to read and interpret. Here, what does this mean? In the water and in a box, lie somewhere underneath. No need. Straight away, he already tell you there, the treasure. Then I just go and collect it. Otherwise, I have to search, treasure hunt. They use the word hunt. So, all these are very important understanding. Then when I met him, after he mentioned this, I already perfected the first three. That's why when he put his hand, he asked me the next question, do you trust me? I said, yes, I trust you. He said, okay, sit down, relax. I said, already relax. Silent, already silent. Then his hand came about 2 inches away from my left side of my heart. Immediately I detected it. that very fine pure energy went in, activated it, then zoop, all my energy went in. I was just relaxing down there, silent, aware. I didn't do anything. The nature do. That's what I understand. Then from there onward, I move so fast. Internally, all transform. Then my mind, my collapse, and the nature shine forth. Then I start to understand everything in much, much more detail. Before I met him, I don't need teacher already. I already went through. This nature already understood what the teaching is. But the funny thing is, after he introduced this, I realized I have this ability to share with a lot of people this missing teaching that was not taught even during Sakyamuni's time, except to all the close disciples. The Bodhisattva, those who go the further way, they do this. The rest, no need. Mindfulness, enough. So this is what actually happened. So coming back to his question, because people start to understand, then people start to do different things. There was one monk in the United States. I actually met him when he was here in 1980-something. Sui An Mi Fong also met him. What was his name? Jira Sato, but he changed his name to now Bante Vimala Rams. No, Vimala Ramsi. Not Vimala Ramsi, I think. Vimala Ramsi. He told me, he met me when I was in Australia with my teacher. He also went there, you know. Then you know what he asked me, you know. Said, Tio, you believe or not? He said, Anapanasati, can I? Then he said, Acham Buddha Dasa, he said. He tried to use the, what they call 16 step in the Anapanasati, to tie in with the Satipatthana, the four foundation of mindfulness. So he has doubt. Well, he never do this. But he went to Burma, spent 20 over years doing Mahasiway. Then he realized, I go nowhere, you know. Yeah, he cannot lie to himself. That's why he came to Asia. Then he went with with another group. But we met at the same place. He went to my teacher there, Ajahn Yantra. Then he also learned. Then finally, he made a fantastic decision, after talking to me. I said, I don't know. I said, to me, Anapanasati is just to train myself in sati. Then I use it after that. It's not a method, it's not a technique. It's an object of meditation that the Buddha introduced. Then he made the fantastic, drastic decision. He forget about rising, falling. He abandoned everything that he learned. He go into Anapanasati. Then he wrote one book on Anapanasati, basing on his understanding. Then he went back to United States. People offer him a piece of land, then he built his temple there, then he got some disciples. Now he teach all over Asia, Indonesia, Korea, all over. So he is the one that come out with this. He represented United States in the Buddhist conference. He said, there are two types of jhana. He said one is the mainstream one. First type, mainstream one. Energy, concentration. The other one is wisdom jhana. Heard of that? Oh, wisdom also got jhana. The Hokkien will tell you, be tahan. You know why he say that?
Sorry.
Have to pull it out. We're falling down. Nature's law, gravity. Wisdom jhana, he say. It's also jhana, is it? But how you define jhana? The first jhana,
when the five jhanic factor are there, isn't it? Correct or not? The five jhanic factor are what? Huh? What are they? You know them, isn't it? You do, but you don't know. Okay. First one is applied thought. Huh? You heard of this word, isn't it? Vitaka, applied thought. Means you apply your thought there. Understand? Focus. Apply. Then, vichara, sustained thought. You sustain your thought there. Then after that, you will experience piti. Piti, you know, spiritual bliss, or spiritual rupture, or spiritual calmness. Then the fourth one is what? It becomes so blissful, sukha. Then the last one, finally, the whole one-pointedness, egagata. So when you have this five jhanic factor, they say you are in first jhana. So he say, he do awareness, silent mind, wisdom. He used the 6 R. You heard of the 6 R? It's in the book. The first R is recognize. Recognize that the defilement are there. The wrong thought are there. The mind has been distracted. Means you are not aware anymore. It has been drawn away. Recognize. Okay? Then after that, what you do is it? Second R is relax. Understand? No? Relax. Then the third R, smile, is it? Re-smile. The fourth R? Where is the fourth R? Huh? Huh? It's in the book. You read. What is the next R? Yeah. Release. Sorry, release. Release then relax. Return. Then the last one is the worst. Repeat. Become mechanical. It's just like the rising falling vipassana. Keep on going to rising falling. You are not there. You are not doing vipassana. So to him also same. If you don't repeat this, you are not cultivating right effort. Because he said this is right effort to abandon. And his release is to abandon. Understand not? But he released without wisdom initially. Where he recognized that it has distracted. Like pain. It has distracted your mind or your awareness to that pain. Where is the tactile sensation very strong? Understand not? Then sometimes when you are in your daily life, he tried but he didn't explain. He said, you are distracted by what you see, but he never explained this. So the distraction can come from whatever you see, whatever you hear. Then you preoccupy with that sense experience. That's why the mind get distracted. Understand not? Means drawn away, become heedless. Preoccupied with all those sense. But to live life, you have to. But you can be aware when it moves. Understand not? Because there is this awareness that can follow. So all this is not shared. But he, not bad. From there he said, I recognize that this mind is no longer peaceful. It's distracted. I release it. Means release. I don't hold. I don't give any more meaning to what that thing is. And then what happened? Your conditioning, your wrong view, cannot come out. Correct? Well, you release it already. Understand? He said, let it be. That's why he don't have hindrance. Understand not? He released. He got nothing to do with it. Then he only wants to relax his mind. Understand not? Then what he do after that? Then he radiate a smile. He want metta in the well-being. Understand not? Then after that he say, return to anapanasati. No matter what happened, return to anapanasati. So no matter what happened, return to rising falling. Then after that, repeat. Every time distract, do again. I mean, not bad, because so far, I say, this is the least harmful meditation that I've ever heard people teach. That's why in one of the correspondents, I think finally he came to understand. Because he got one problem, you know. He cannot solve, you know. I think one of the students asked, you know. Oh yeah, I forgot the question, eh? Mi Fong can remember that. Yeah. What is the difference between sati and mindfulness and there's another word they use, mindfulness and don't know what. He cannot differentiate, you know. Then I answer him, you know, he requests for answer. After I answer him, he's not happy. You know? But luckily, you know, then after that, to the correspondent, I said, I didn't do anything. I said, you asked. He asked for everybody, you know. I said, out of kindness, I answered. I never do that purposely, you know. Or then after that, he toned down. Initially, he write until, I tell you, then I think all the people there also know, two or three of them wrote to me, you know. He said, Bratil, I think we follow you. I said, please don't. This one is the least harmful. Yeah, there was one from India. One young man, wow, he very happy, you know. Every time he asks question, he kena bamboo from him, you know. Oh, you kena do kokrao. Then when he saw me answer, until he got to defend himself, then I say, I don't know what is going on. I say, I just share my understanding. I mean no harm. I say, if it's something that is acceptable, then I hope it helps. Well, I explain how the mind got distracted, no, preoccupied, all things. So when you are aware, there is no such movement, no. Awareness is before the knowing. So the email was very clear, no. There are a lot of people who read, they understand, no. So anyway, he is a very good monk. He come out with this, not harmful. So he said, when he is in the mind state, he also do anapanasati. He didn't know it's mindfulness, but he thought he applied his thought on the breathing, understand, no? Then vitaka vichara is there. Then he experienced piti. Then he experienced sukha. Then his mind didn't move. He said, this is ekagata. Now I am in vichara, is it? Yeah. Then after that, he removed these two. He said, I don't have to focus anymore. Well, anapanasati stabilized already. He can go in anytime, come out anytime. So vitaka vichara no more. Then he experienced piti. He stayed there. Then later, piti also gone. Then sukha also gone. Of course, he didn't talk about one-pointedness. He straight away after that, upeka, he said. The mind in equanimity. Oh. Then after that, he said, he go into the infinite space. Through his thought, he create the infinite space. Then he experienced infinite space. Then he experienced infinite consciousness. Then he experienced nothingness. Then he experienced neither perception or non-perception. Then he got 9 jhana. He said in the sutta, go right, Sariputta realized the 9 jhana. 9 jhana is when all this no more. You awaken. You realize nibbana. That is the 9 jhana. Oh, so a lot of jhana. I don't know. I got no jhana. I got no jhana, no jhana. People ask me when I want to share and teach at Wu Ping Ji, what jhana you have? I don't have any jhana. You dare to teach, he said. Oh, he said, not easy, you know, this place is there. So whatever it is, I hope I answer your question. Okay?
Thank you very much. Okay. Is it okay if I continue? So, brother, I share my experience.
Okay, very good.
I tried 1, 2, 3, 4. When I start to go in there, I start to silent mind and then just stay aware now. Then it seems that energy is starting to build up.
Here. Because you are so used to that training. So the only way to help you is to relax.
Yes, precisely. So
every time you relax, it cannot build up. Yes.
So every time, for example, it goes up and then start to build up, and then, you know, light and all this will start to come. Yes, and then actually it's getting very pleasant.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So then
you will love it. Well, this is called defilement of insight, obasa. You will see nimitta, fantastic light manifestation and all those things. Then you think, wow, I can do it. Other people cannot do. So you think this is sign of progress. So what happened is, it build up the ego, you know. Wow, I can do this. Other people cannot do it. And this is so interesting. So during that time, you talk to that person. Hey, there's another teacher who teach mindfulness. He say, you go and fly kite. I prefer this one. Like that kid, you got toy for him to play. He say, hey boy, study lah. This one, no good. The boy will tell you to go and fly kite. He say, I finish my whatever game first. So it is normal, understand? So the main key thing is, you must understand what is meditation, then you will be very focused, then you will know how to do. The energy that bail out and you experience all things, no harm, I tell you. The Buddha also went through. Understand not? But the only understanding is all this will not lead you to wisdom because it's suppression. The hindrance are suppressed. You cannot see whether it's rooted out or not. You cannot test yourself in real life. So what you need is to release all this out through relaxation, back to normal awareness. Then go into daily mindfulness, like what I share with you. Mindful of every action, every movement in the present moment. My teacher's advice, the highest real meditation. If you can do that, your awareness will come. It will stabilize. Then you can see many, many things. Not light and all those things, not psychic. You can see your mental intention. You can see your physical flow, your mental flow, nature's flow. Then all of a sudden, one day when you are ready, you will insight into phenomena. The moment you insight into phenomena, I give you this example that happened to me. You will really, really understand how it happened. I got one lady teacher, my second last teacher. He was trying to help the Singapore guy who came to understand the three characteristics. So he explained. Then he tell him, he said, you watch, huh? He said, you watch. He didn't say silence your mind and watch, he said, you watch. She just moved her hand there. Then she asked him, what you see? The moment she moved her hand like that, I awakened to the three characteristics straight away. The whole of phenomena, everything I understand. Everything is like that. That Singaporean still look at the hand. So, but he's perceiving what she do, try to use the knowledge. But I was silent. That movement awakened straight away the insight. No wonder. Then after that I explained to her, I said, yeah. Initially, before her hand moved, there was nothing in there. Then the moment it moved, arise already. Then the moment she moved it out, cease already. All of phenomena are like that. Condition arising. When got conditions, zook. No more conditions, zook. Finish. The moment she do that without word, no, my nature awakened. Then I understand the whole lot of characteristics on it. Then everything I understand. Well, I was contemplating and doing this mindfulness until it's so clear. But I don't have the condition to awaken the direction. And that moment, zoom, the hand just moved like that before it ends. The nature awakened and understand. That's why mindfulness is very powerful. It's very different. The silent mind can see things as they are without thought. But you have to reach that stability. You are mindful in the midst of life. Then only it can happen. When you are too busy thinking, noting, nothing can happen. Maybe like what he see and all can happen. The light and all those things. You focus, you concentrate. Then the energy build up. Because the mind is like that, the mundane maya. Wherever you locate that maya, the life force energy will build up there. Very good. Thank you. You bring about the condition for me to explain one very important thing. This fellow, the human being. You know how he gets his energy. How he gets his energy. How you get your energy. Food is one of them. Food. Means materialistic food. Sustainant like you reside. Then? Oxygen is part of nature's gift. That one, never mind. What I mean is the real nourishment. No, that one is part of food. He knows. Breathing, very good. Prajna. You heard of this word, yeah? Prajna. Prajna means through your breathing. Your breathing is qi, understand not? You tap this qi. That's why you do anapanasati, you got a lot of qi, a lot of energy. But you're supposed to do it mindfulness. They go and fix it, they go and note it, they go and concentrate. They go and focus on this area of the nostril and build up the energy. The third one is what? Every moment, every instant sent to you. Your life force. Understand or not? Life force. What is this life force? Your karmic force. Understand or not? This is your supportive karma, understand not? Supporting karma, supporting the form of mind. That's why it keep on coming. Then the heartbeat, pupa, pupa, pupa. No sound, of course. Then you know what happened? When I was doing this meditation, when I understand this meditation, I went in, then the thing do by itself. Then I realized, this life force energy that karma, pop. The moment it comes, my nature absorbs everything. Then it do all this internal opening. No wonder I move so far. Because when I was in that formal lying down meditation, when I do, I should say almost 100% ready, 90% to 100% ready. Maybe in between I aware, then I perceive that very small. And I realize this life force energy, non-meditator who don't understand this style of meditation don't know how to use. You use it for what? Your life force, you use it for what? To pump your heart, of course I know. You also know. To send the blood around. What else you use? You use it for thinking. You think a lot, understand? That's why when you think a lot, what happens? You become very tired, understand? Because this one drains you. The other one is study. When you study a lot, what happens? You become very hungry. I eat chop fun, ka fun, cannot grow fat on when I study in MU. Because mental thinking, yeah, when you study, you have to think, yeah, you have to memorize. And so that one draw a lot of energy from you. That's why you need food for sustenance and activity. So, when you don't use it that way, this thought energy, because you didn't use it for the internal transformation, you use it to think, to arise a thought. So what happens is when they do jhana, wherever they locate their mind, they apply thought and sustain it, this life force energy nowhere to go because you are in almost ekagata, you are focusing. So this energy will come and it will build up. Of course, initially, no thought, you will experience pity. Then very blissful. Then you see all those nice things, you ask him. You can ask him, you want to know. The light, the illumination, all those things. Then the special experience and all those things. So all this will happen. Then if you go and make use of it to do psychic, you can read mind, you can levitate, you can do a lot of other things. Yeah. So what happened is, if you don't understand who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being, you will never know how to meditate because you don't know what is going on. And the only instrument that you have is thought, nothing else. Can follow that? Okay, you continue.
So to continue, So then I relax, and then this energy start to disperse. And then it start again. When I suddenly it come from here, and then it start to build up again. Wow, and then very nice again. Right, and then oops, okay.
Very good.
So let it relax again, and it disperse again.
So later on, you continue first.
Then I went into the, I don't know whether it's silent mind or not, but it's just awareness.
Oh, very good, very good.
And then,
Then it happened, huh?
Yes.
Oh, very good. Then no energy build up.
Yeah, no energy.
Sadhu. Very good.
Then, for I don't know how long, right? For a while, and then after that.
Are you aware? Are you aware?
Fully aware.
You are not blank, huh?
Fully aware.
Not blank, huh? Not blank, huh? Oh, sadhu. Very good.
Oh,
very good.
And then, after a while, I find that this consciousness start to expand.
I know, it will start to expand. It can go very far. But no sound, You don't go and our brother say chu 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 chu. How come mine no sound?
Never turn on the volume.
Never turn on the volume, is it? You better put your loudspeaker louder.
I've been there before. I know that at a point when this thing expanded, the body will also disappear.
Yeah, you cannot feel them, cannot perceive
then
them.
It is just the mind.
Yeah, yeah.
And then just expanding, consciousness expanding. Yeah. And then it's like,
wow. Oh, fantastic.
Like, you are now the universe. The universe is you.
Like oneness. That one is the jhana one. That one is the energy field. But not bad. Very good. Because if he can do that, means the energy is not building up. Not developing concentration and do all those funny things, is expanding. That's why you have to dissipate it through something, expanding. But when you go through this phase, the key thing is always remember, whatever happened is a conditioned arising state. It will change. You will come back to your normal consciousness. Then you have to live life. That's why you have to understand all this. You cannot be sitting in that jhana for life to enjoy that bliss, because these are impermanent, conditioned arising state. No matter how blissful, how fantastic, it is going to last for a certain period. My teacher, that Tai Mang, initially when he do all this, he can carry jhana 24 hours, sleep with it, move with it. Then later he realized he also had to release it out and do all those things. He tested himself, psychic. He will end up a very high cliff. Then without going to jhana, he jump. Then funny, as it go down, the mind automatically enter jhana. Then he fell a few hundred feet. Nothing happened to him. That's why he wanted to test. But that time he was a yogi. He didn't know what this thing was. But he was taught Anapanasati, going to all the jhana. But he got one uncle, very powerful meditator. Also Long Po, don't know what. The uncle liked him a lot. The uncle, young time saw him. He liked to, like with the children playing, he carried the lotus flower. Then full of sadha virya. Then like Buddhist teaching. That's why the uncle called him. He called him, I think, Long Po. Long Po means like grandfather like that, Long Po. Then he teach him meditation. Then after that, on his own, he progressed very fast. He got his pass. Then he went into the forest. He graduated in tourism, hotel management. So he said he go and work there 1 month. He said the way human being behave and have this craving, he don't want to be like them. He said he came from a poor family. Then he came down to the city and worked for a hotel. Wow, hotel there, food very nice, room all very nice, all service all very good. And yet, he said, the customer complain like anything. Oh, this one not right, that one not right, how come not working? He said, if he got the condition to stay in this, he already so contented and so happy. But these people are still scolding the staff and making all the funny things. Then he said, how come they need so much? Every day replenish the room, toothpaste, sometimes shampoo. Why such a waste? He cannot understand. Then he said, that's it. This is not for me. Then he resigned. The parents also panic. He go and
wear this white clothes, go into the forest and jungle. Then he got no bud, nothing. He go and get a coconut, cut it and polish the one and use that to go and collect water. Then later pindapat with there. But after he became very good, he decided to come out and test. No, he told us this story. He said, he liked to mix with the beggars. No, all the beggars very dirty, very poor. He liked to see them. Then this beggar, notice he's different. No, then everywhere he go, he get food. No, the beggar sometimes don't get food. No? Then he share his food with them, so they like him a lot. They listen to what he got to share. Oh, because he's so serene. No. Oh. And you look at his photo at that time, he's like a lady, you know, but long hair. He's really handsome. And I can tell you, during that time when he came to Brickfield, you know, some of the girls, I do a recording, they come and talk to me. Brother Teo can fall in love with him. I say, you come for Dhamma or you come for... he's so handsome, you know, and he speaks with loving kindness. So you got all sorts of people there. I say, you better watch your thought. In the time of the Buddha, you remember? Got one arahant? This man passed by. Oh, he say, so fair. No? So the last came out. No? The moment the last came out, pop, he become a woman. No? Lady. That was real story. You know? You think joke. That's why you last for. Chunk, you become man. Then I go back. How to tell your children, ayo, mama, no more. Or how to tell your spouse, hey, now we cannot sleep together. You sleep that room, I sleep this room. So these are part and parcel of the training. When you understand, all these are possible. So very good. What happened now is, after you experience all this, like the Buddha said, if Alara and Udaka is still around, they listen to this, they will awaken. So tomorrow, I hope you awaken. Anatta Lakkhana Sutta coming. You just silence your mind, open mind. Don't think of anything. Don't allow it to come and interfere. Just listen. Then you understand through that silence.
Okay, brother, I continue.
Can.
So after that, I don't want to let the consciousness expand too far. Right, then I come back and then silent again. Right, and then I remembered, suddenly this came, that from Master Hui Neng, that the mind has no dwelling.
Sadhu, very good.
Then it's like, why is it running here and there?
Everywhere it run, you perceive, you dwell there, understand not? Everything that you come to know, you dwell there, understand not? Now you know why dwelling cannot find the truth. Dwelling is thought, understand not? The perception come out, then you dwell. Like you perceive the painting, you dwell there. You perceive my voice, you dwell here, understand not? But when you are fully aware, you can be aware. You don't have to dwell there, understand not? Like you listen from your heart. You are listening. But that is pure listening. Because you never dwell. You never get distracted by what is being spoken. You just absorb everything in. And that is the real art of listening. When you listen without any chattering, without any judgment, any conditioning, any reaction, just like that book. Yeah? That book, the brown book, remember? I read to you again. This one is very good. The first paragraph. This is good for reminding you all. We are in the bus. I don't know whether recorded or not. Sihan recorded. Oh, okay. Anyway, I repeat. I say, just relax yourself, get yourself seated and maintain some form of sadha, viriha, and attentiveness. Attentiveness is the silent awareness before the knowing, which is sati, or mindfulness. The moment you are attentive without thought, you are already aware. So don't try to be aware. So when you are attentively listening without thought, that is true listening. Means the thought don't come and interfere and distract you and comment and tell you a story. That is what we call the art of listening.
When you listen without verbalization, without chattering, without any reaction from your knowledge and memory, that is the silent mind listening. Now you follow. Yeah? Because you don't dwell. You are fully aware, listening. You just listen with an open mind. So the views, opinion, and the mainstream teaching don't come. Then whatever you listen, you can absorb very easily and very clearly. Then if it's something not in accordance because your wisdom is already there, you will also understand. But you will not prejudge what the speaker say. Understand? So Dhamma is about learning how to silence your mind more and more and be more attentive. The moment you are attentive, you are already aware. So now you understand, huh? Now very clear, huh? Oh, sadhu. Very good. Okay, continue. See, you all don't want to make use of the time. He take all the time. He benefited the most.
So, sorry.
Then why? Don't worry. They are very willing to give to you. Because you can ask very good questions.
So then, quiet, peaceful, and then it's just staying there, watching. Then, I think when the bell ring, right, for breakfast, at first, doesn't want to come out, just want to stay there. I thought that, yeah, no need.
Very good. You didn't hear what I say. Those who want to meditate, you can continue. Continue, skip your breakfast.
No, I think I didn't hear.
Yeah, never mind. Because you decide to come out, you can come out. Because there is still a lot of opportunity. We got 6 more days. The other thing you have to do is, you have to learn to lie down. Because when you cross your leg like that, you know what happened? This is a base. It will cause energy to build up. That's why these people do jhana, they cross in India. Because this is a very good way of building up. You know, like rocket. You need the propulsion. You need to have the resistance, the thrust from the bottom. This one is the thrust. You come up. So you lie down, you completely relax, then you're silent. Then when you're silent, you can experience the oneness, but not the expanding consciousness. Because it got nothing to do with consciousness. You are one with nature. Then that time, very strange. That was what happened to me when I was in Cameron Highland. The first time the mind went into cessation. All of a sudden, like the silence of nature suddenly manifest. Then my mind was one with the whole of nature. It doesn't expand on immediately on. Then you know what happened. Normally you have a lot of this vibration on the chipping of the bird, so many types of bird, the insect sound and all those things and nature. All of a sudden, all those things like phenomena within the new moon. Then this nature, spacious awareness without center. Then whatever you want to hear, even how far you can hear, you can perceive. But then that mind is so different. That awareness is so different. It's so still. That all of a sudden it sits. Completely nothing. Pure awareness also no more. Just for that split second, the moment. Then after that, the moment it come back to consciousness again, then I slowly come out. Then I suddenly understand so many things. After that, all the Dhamma I reflect and contemplate, last time I learned before, the word become meaningful. All of a sudden, like song like that, can understand all those words. Then only I came to know all these teachings are for enlightened being, not for normal being. That's why you use thought, you cannot understand. That's why you have to cultivate until you realize that you understand them all. Like Hui Ning, illiterate, he can understand. Okay? So now you understand.
Still not finished.
Oh, good.
So then I with this very quiet mind, I slowly walk out, go downstairs. Every step that I walk, I'm very, very fully aware.
Wow, sadhu.
And then all the
sadhu, five senses.
It's so clear.
Yeah, very good, sadhu.
So clear. Yeah. As I walk into the dining hall, right? Then you feel, wow, suddenly the eye,
ear consciousness, the sense data all come in. Sadhu, very good.
But the mind was like,
silent, yes.
Yeah.
You know, very, very good.
It can engage or it doesn't want
to. Ah, sadhu, very good.
And then after that, go, wow, no place to sit.
Yeah. Very, very good.
Then you find, oi.
Very good. Means you are aware and sensitive. So you need to break another point. Anatta lakkhana. Once this one break, you become different. You know what is happening. You are aware, but the egoic mind is still there. The subtle mind. That's why you can decide to do this, you can decide to do that. That is still the egoic mind. But you have to penetrate the anatta nature, that these are dependent originating things. It's not a person inside doing. A form and mind has a mundane mind. It has mental intention. It has consciousness. So you have to learn to use that. Like the Heart Sutta. Ahuining Sutta. The Wu Chu told him. You have to learn to use this mind, yet not attached to this mind. Because it's not you. Understand? No? Then you will have, like Huining, great awakening.
So, continue.
Okay.
So, very funny, right? Suddenly, then, again, silent, right? So, just look. And then, find a space. So, then, as I start to get the food to eat, actually, I don't know who is eating. It's just like...
Very, very good.
I don't know, what is this?
No one is eating.
I don't know who is eating.
No one is eating. Then when you move your hand, are you aware? Everything. Very good. Means you are ready to receive truth, ready to awaken. Very, very good. Sadhu, let us rejoice. Sadhu. You continue with this training. That's why it can be done. The first time he see me at 10 retreat, I never see him before that. At my house, before the briefing. Only that morning, I think I saw you. Before the bus come. And so, so you cannot say Brother Teo pakat with him and report all this. Where got like that? So, all these people that come, I don't know you all, one except my classmate, Suyan, Mi Fong, they all, and my wife. The rest all, I don't know you all. And all this is very important. It gives you faith, understand? And it can be done. Even people who do the different thing, when they understand, they move very fast. That's why you must have understanding. Then when you understand, you are so different. Well, this one transform you, remove the ego, remove the atta, the sakayaditi, the self. Then you understand clearly, then you just use this to live life. Then you got no more problem with this body getting old, getting sick and die. Then you understand everything is dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. That's why affinity. No affinity, nothing. They can become your children, your wife, your spouse, your parent. That is karmic affinity. Understand? That's why during the Buddha's time, the top disciple among them, many life in the Jataka story, they take turn to be brother, sister, cousin, and parent, and all those things. Sometimes Mahakasapa and the wife is the father and the mother. Then Sakyamuni, they all, and Sariputta, they are their children. How come it can be like that? Because these are the affinity that they build. Understand? Like we all Kayamita, we build affinity. So in future we come, that's why I say, the three girls can become husband and wife. You never know. Then you can become children of some of this Kayamita. You never know because of affinity. Then you become Dhamma family, you know how to move. It's because of all this affinity, vow and all those things. Then you will not come like before, heedless, come to suffer for what? No point. Okay? Good. Finish.
Continue.
12 o'clock.
12 o'clock, okay.
After that, we have to end. So, 5 more minutes. Okay, we should thank our brother there. What's your surname?
Chia.
Chia, Brother Chia. We rejoice for his good connection. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. It's very good that he has the condition to ask and you all can benefit too. And he also benefit because he dared to give it a try. And I also very surprised how come results so fast. he can become like that. It's because he's part of me. Because when Song told me, I warned him. No. I said, no condition, you don't bring anyone. No. Then he only found two of you there, got condition. He talked to the other one, no condition yet. But he said, you willing to come? No. Oh, I said, very good. Then get him to come. I didn't even know your name until now, Brother Chia. Okay. C-H-E-A-H or I-A?
C-H-I-A.
I-A, oh, okay. Oh, yeah. I was told by Song, yeah. He's from Singapore because he went to Thailand, that retreat with Song, the one-month retreat. So, I think you were together with Song at the retreat, isn't it? You stay in the same room or what?
No, we have separate room.
Oh, separate room. But how come you can come to know him and talk to him? Never mind, use the mic. Use the mic for the recording. On it.
Push it up.
Hello.
Yes, on it.
Actually, when I attended that course, there were many things that I wasn't happy.
Oh, okay.
I see so much misery.
Oh, suffering.
And I'm supposed all came to this course and retreat to liberate ourselves. They are all so miserable.
Oh, yes.
So then I realized.
Not the way.
And then through also my experience during that course, there were so many happenings. Marvelous.
Yeah.
Talk about levitation.
Yeah.
I realized it's not just story.
It's real. It's real. They can do one. So like the one that crossed the river, levitate through. The Buddha asked you, how long have you trained? He said, 20 years. He said, you wasted your life. I pay 1 rupiah. I also can cross. Because you just want to show that you can do it. Psychic. So the ego boosts up. Understand? Not to say it's something right or wrong. There's no right or wrong about things. Your focus is not there. Like you understand, this one will not lead you to awakening. Suffering is everywhere. People are miserable. Then why are we still doing all this? Initially, we are curious. Very exciting. So out of the ordinary. So that's why I tell you, you fall into that one. You will go that way, one like that child. You say, hey, study lah. He say, choy le tung hong, study. Okay.
So then I started after the course, and for 30 days, because Song is there for 45. So I had a chance to chat with him.
Oh, no wonder, sadhu.
Was the end. Then, after that, he started to tell me things that sound strange.
Never heard before.
Then I told him, you are the one I've been waiting for this while. Now you appear.
Okay, sadhu. Sadhu. Very good.
See, I've been walking and walking and searching, I don't want to walk anymore.
Tired already. After going to Holland, come back. Tired already. Sadhu. Very good.
So then he started to talk to me and then he showed me this book.
Very good. The Heart Sutta.
Then he says, you go and read. Then when I see, then he asked me, I can't remember exactly, but anyway, he says, but I only have 2 days, right? And he says, he wants the book. Okay. Then I said, okay, never mind. I'll return you tomorrow. But when I look at this book, right? I mean, there's so many things in there. Yeah. So I look at the back. Right? There were so many summaries there.
So
I started to look, how come? Wow, like this one. Then, when I saw all those things, right? And after that, in the evening, right, I say, Song, you keep it. No need already.
Yeah.
I say, anyway, I like to see your teacher.
Good. Means you have affinity. I rejoice. Sadhu to you. Okay, we go for lunch. We come back here 1:30. Yes. Use the mic. Come.
Just a very quick announcement, brothers and sisters. This is particularly to the sisters. I will only check with Pang.